Aren't you glad for those moments in your life where you can say, nobody else was there, but Jesus was there. Nobody else was by my side, but I knew I could call on Jesus. Well, kids, you're dismissed, and just a reminder about your temperature, and make sure you clean your hands, keep your mask on, and stay safe. Thank you, children's staff, when I drove out there Friday night to see all the kids in shaving cream. I was glad I wasn't a kid, so. Some of those things, I don't know, as you get older, they're just not as appealing. Is that okay? I used to say, let's go for it. Then I said, I'd do the drive-by and say, hey, you know, so glad y'all are here. And glad to be able to do that. So we've been on a journey in Daniel, and I don't know, I just have been so excited. And many of you, as I sit in first service, y'all are faithful and you know your word. But Daniel and what is found in that book is just tremendous. Church, there is a faithfulness there in the midst of a time when it was very hard to be faithful that sets an example for us that's so important. And church, we are in the midst of days that are unlike any others. There are so many people that no longer profess the name of Jesus as any type of truth. In fact, many that you go up to aren't even sure who he is. And church, this is the kind of day that Daniel and the faithful remnant lived in. And so this week, as I encouraged you last week, we're going to be in chapter 3, and so here we go again, and I'm going to use that. Those of you that were in the military, I'm going to have some fun with you for a minute here in a bit. But let's grab our Bibles, go to chapter 3, and as I did last week, I'm not going to read every part of it, but I'm going to skim you through and give you some good girth so that you're ready to hear the word today. So if you got that, stand with us this morning for the reading of God's word. Now, most of us would say, as we say to our children, King Nebuchadnezzar, didn't you learn from the last event? Don't you like to say that sometimes? Kids, didn't you learn from the consequence before that if you do it again, it's probably going to happen again, and then if you do it again, it may get a little severe, and if it, but King Nebuchadnezzar, as many of us, did not get it. And so as his life went on, he continued to learn lessons. But church, remember that this man was evil. And it's hard to rectify this type of evil. And church, you're going to see that it rises up in him again. And this is the golden image. And I want you to picture, you know, I keep saying each week, because Daniel, we do so much in Sunday school with his kids. And I want you to remove those pictures. In fact, I want you to not think about those. Think about the fact that in this area where we're going to speak about, they have uncovered where a statue would have stood, a beautiful ornate object that where this statue would have stood in exactly the area. And some say, well, that can't be, and I believe it is that, and so we're going to believe that it's that. But this was real. And this king felt like an image of himself. I don't know about you, but I don't even like to be videoed or pictured or see that on that big. Can you imagine 90 feet tall? Are y'all awake? I mean, if I built something 90 feet tall of you out there, would you be pleased? Probably not. Okay. I'm not saying God's creation is, but we don't need us that big. King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits, which equals about 90 feet, whose width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Duran in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent for the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to assemble and come to the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So all of those individuals came. King Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed this aloud to all the people. You are commanded, O people, nations, languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, an entire musical ensemble, you are to fall down and worship the golden statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, on and on and on, they fell down and worshiped the golden statue. Now, I want you to get this picture here. This is not something where a group of people stood on the outside of the palace and played music so that everyone could hear. This was well orchestrated. If you study it, this was a well orchestrated machine, meaning there were people that when the time came, all across the nation would play these instruments so that all could hear. And whether it was in your view or not, you were to fall. And there were people set up there to watch to see if you were doing it or not. Are you with me here? This is not what we think of in the kids where the plane is right there and there's a small group of people. It is a nation falling on their knees before an image of a man. This is what's happening. Our world is calling us to fall before images. And I don't mean images and statues, but there are things out there right now that draw us as a people. There are pleasures that draw us. And this was what it was. He was drawing a nation unto himself. And he was using worship, which is what we're going to get to do when we get to heaven. Church, this is deeper. See, I believe now we're getting into the evidence that he knew what he was doing. He knew about God. He knew about worship. And he was going to set himself up equal to the God that he had learned about a little bit earlier. And then we know that those that were not happy, we remember they were elevated, the God's believers were elevated. Obviously, people weren't happy about that. Unfortunately, we as human nature, we don't like when others are elevated and we're not. And so here we see this, and all of a sudden they begin to report to the king, hey, you know those believers, they're not doing or responding as you requested. So we know how it goes in 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If, now here's what we're gonna focus on this today, so hold on to this. Here are these three men. They did not go supposing that God was going to save them. You know what they did? They just went faithful. And they said, if our God, meaning we are going to die or we're not, but guess what? We're going to do as God instructed us to do, and that is we're not going to fall before this image. And so if he saves us or not, we are going to stand with God. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Wait a minute, Pastor. Able. You mean they weren't even sure? They weren't sure. They weren't sure that God was able in that moment. Remember, they were in exile, but they did not care. So I would say much of their mind said that they were heading into this furnace by themselves. O king, let him deliver us. But if not be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Now here's something that I want you to get. There's something that happened within him. In verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, was there not three? So he put it in there. He put them in there. He actually instructed them, and I want you to get this. He instructed them to stoke this fire. In fact, the way it's spoken, he said, continue to stoke the fire. Do not stop. Well, then they were thrown down. Actually, it says they fell down. Which if you remember, if you go back, they were asked to fall down before him. Now they fell down by no choice, but the choice of the enemy. So here you are, church, and you see that all of a sudden in the scripture, this whole story changes. And he gets up and he sees that there are not only three men in there, but there are four men. And the way he speaks of them being active. In fact, the one that he didn't recognize was active. And church, we're going to get to that. Meaning he was active in the fire. What was he doing? We're going to get into that. And then it went on at the end at verse 39 or 29. Therefore, I decree after all this happens, they come out, any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king promoted the three of them in the province of Babylon. God, today we pray that you would just bless the reading of God's word. God, there is tremendous truth in here. We pray today, Lord, that as it's brought out, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would not only be spoken to, but God, today, that we would relate it to our life today, to the situations we're in today, to the things that we don't believe today. God, let us believe because you are a way maker and you made a way and you will make a way. And so today, in the name of Jesus, we stand with your power and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So in the army, there was this saying, those of you that were in it understand it. I think it did tremendous things for me in understanding our nation, understanding the sacrifice, and getting what it meant to like really serve the nation. But anyway, there was something that from day one, they said, we are going to do it again, and then we're going to do it again, and then we're going to do it again, and again, and again, until you get it. And there was a lot of things that we did day in and day out. I don't like to rise early, but I had no choice, and that was you rose early, and usually when the break of day happened, you were already on your feet running or doing some type of exercise, or you were up way before that doing something you didn't want to do. And here we are with this king, and I want you to think, I mean, we can be realistic here. I want you to think like the people that were the remnant. Here we go again with this king. I mean, don't you get tired of evil? Come on now, church, don't you get tired of it? Don't you get tired of turning around and saying, here we are again? Why? Because we serve a God that's greater. Well, in the army, there were moments where I would say to myself, why are we here again? And I don't know, is it, please work. It's going to be based on the internet. Those of you in the army, this is one that we sang all the time. You want me to sing it with you because I got it memorized. We sang it every single morning for years. See, there I am right there struggling. Hey, it's okay to be honest, right? I was not the best runner. But you kept up, especially with the people that were in charge of me. So think about this. Here we are with an earthly God, and here we go again. Think about the words that he used. Very similar language. He said things like, I have set up. You ain't set up anything. Were you here in the beginning? Was he here in the beginning? Was he saying, was he creating? No. So here he is again saying, I have set up. Here he is again referring to my gods. Church, we are often going back to my gods. And much of the time it starts with self, fill in the blank. I immediately command you, if you look at the way these events have gone, and the way we're going to break them down, you will see that he was easily angered. Once in the fire, the king says, then what God will be able to rescue from my hand? Man, our God. Church people, we should start saying, our God. Yeah, you know what? My God, the God that I serve. Let's keep setting this up. We're going to do this in two halves. The rage here. All of a sudden, if you look at verse 29 and you look on, the rage was almost immediate. It was as if nothing changed in his heart. He was immediately turned into a different person. In fact, if you read the way it was, his whole countenance changed. And when they responded, it actually says, when you look at it, it actually says that like he became a different person. Have you ever met somebody when they're really rageful? And then all of a sudden you say the wrong thing and it just, we've all been there. But see, now we're talking about a king who is completely evil, who has stepped back again. Here we go again. The people of God are saying, guess what? I'm staying with God. And then the rage rises up. What does that tell us? See, when rage rises up in us, it tells us that our core is not right. It tells us that we're actually uglier than we were before. Rage is ugly, people. If you've seen it, you know it. It's ugly. Unfortunately, in churches over the years, rage has come out, and people stay outside of the church because they've seen it, and they don't want to be a part of it. Rage is all convincing. If you're full of rage, guess what? You are fully convinced. Are you with me here? You don't have rage in your heart and you're not, hey, you know what, whatever happens. No, when you're rageful, it's like my way or the highway. And when you have the power that this king thinks he has, it is my way or the highway. It's also interesting that rage doesn't just come out the way this king allows it to. Rage comes out when we get into the car and say, let's get back to the argument we were in earlier this morning when we went to church. Let's pick that right back up. Come on now. If it weren't the truth. Or I don't like it because it's not my way. So when we think about this king, you got these good men, good godly men. You've got this other side. And they stood firm. They remembered that God was able to save. They remained level-headed in the midst of rage. Church, as it comes to us, we have to stand level-headed. We have to stand with Christ. We have to believe that he can move even when we don't think it's possible. And what I think is okay is sometimes you can say, well, if our God decides, but we're going to stand with. They weren't even standing there saying he was or he is. They were just saying, if he decides, we're going to be happy. And if he doesn't, we're still going to be with him. And see, we have to allow ourselves in the midst of the rage that the enemy brings against us. And there is a rage happening across our nation that the enemy is trying to put in our hearts. And we can rebuke it in the name of Jesus. When you look here about save, the way they said it, so save and rescue. In this translation, they were not sure. Church, I can't always be sure, but guess what? I'm sure of who I serve. And I'm sure that he can do it. And if it doesn't happen the way we think it is, I say to myself, well, then he knew something I didn't know. Church, we have to start getting to that place where no matter what the outcome is, we stand firm with him and we say, you know what? He can or he can't, but I believe he can. And I believe his ways are higher than my ways. And see, they were not completely sure, but they trusted God for rescue in some way. When you actually look at it and you translate it, they had realized that they were not going to be snatched away from it by the king or anybody else. Nobody stood up and said, well, didn't you remember what happened before? And God really, and you should really think on, and that should be your... No, see, nobody did that. In fact, the way they spoke it, they recognized that the only way they were going to be saved. I mean, you get this, right? Here they are sitting there in his whole countenance. Meaning when you translate the scripture, his actual body presence changed. Meaning he was not even as evil as he normally was. He went from evil to probably would make most of us nervous. Especially, and I don't know, but there are some people probably here that have been in a vulnerable spot that they didn't want to be in, that they had no rescue from, and all they could do was cry to the Lord. There's people in here today that have been there. And I don't know how you've made it through, but you're here today. And I believe it's because of God. And so here they realized this was not gonna change. And as the king instructed it to get 7 times hotter. See, what we do is we separate moments and we say, well, okay, it was 7 times hotter and it stayed that way. What do fires do? If you put a fire in your backyard to have marshmallows, you got to keep it what? Going. Meaning he said make it 7 times faster, so much so that the people that threw him in did what? They passed away. This is how strong this fire was, and he continued to have it stoked that way. But see, man, God was ready. This is the exciting part. God was ready to snatch them out of. God was ready to use AFC. God is ready to use AFC to snatch what is his from the grasp and hand of the enemy. Okay. So let's think about the event before we get to the really good part. I've been very excited about this. The event here, they were tied up. In fact, it was said, Kipat, it's mentioned 3 times here. Now, right when I say 3, you all should get excited, right? Because we're reading Daniel, so it's doing what? It's setting us up for who? Jesus, y'all. Jesus. Because Jesus is about to appear. And so here are three men. This isn't coincidence. This isn't just speaking to this day. God is saying, hey, people, listen to me because I'm with you and I've got a plan for you. Here are three people. They are tied up. We are tied up without Christ. In fact, the way it's spoken, we are bound, and without him, we cannot be unbound. Guess who arrived into the fire and unbound them? They went in what? They went in bound. In fact, they actually took their clothes and stuff and further bound them. In fact, they took all they owned and they wrapped it around their bodies and said, take everything you got with you. You know what? We don't have much here on this earth. We think we do, but that's a reminder that we don't have much. And they tied that mess around them and they bound them up with even what they had and they threw them in. They themselves were helpless. Now we see all of a sudden the language speaks back to Isaac and then it speaks to Jesus. I want you to think about something here and read this statement over and over again this week. The enemy always lifts us up to then always drop us. If he is letting you rise in wealth, if he is letting you rise in power, if he is letting you rise in society, guess what? You're going to fall. Because the enemy only brings us up to drop us down. Think about it. This idea of fell, this translated word, the bottom line was the enemy thought he got his way. In fact, it's spoken the same way. He said to the whole nation, you are to fall down before me. When the music plays in whatever province you're in, you're to fall down. And in fact, it's southeast or west. I forget which direction, but it was a direction everybody was to bow when they did, even if they couldn't see the structure. And so the whole nation was to fall. In fact, the way that they were dropped into this fire was they fell. Same way, the enemy did what? He celebrated. What did the enemy do when Jesus died on the cross? I believe he celebrated. Finally, I did it, but God had something bigger. Finally, the king said, I've eliminated this. I'm done with this. See, I am greater. Now who's going to take care of you? And all of a sudden, they didn't just fall. They fell into the arms of Jesus. So let's look at the battle here. So each week we're looking at a battle, and we're talking about sway versus swag. Here is the great thing, okay? Not only did Daniel have swag? Remember the definition of swag? It's like you are who you are, and no matter what, you are who you are. And Christians, as we sit here today, we have the same God that was here with us last week, that's here with us this week, that'll be here with us next week, that wants to grow in you a new seed. That's the God that we serve, and that's who we're speaking about. We are who we are. We are Christians. We are believers. We stand with him no matter what's around us. That's swag. Sway is you just go every which way. Well, so-and-so said, and they've been a Christian for 20 years. My neighbor said, and he's an atheist, but he's got a good idea of the world. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And so, church, here are three men, even in the absence of Daniel, who have some swag, who know who they serve, who are standing firm in the midst of a decree, a king, and a fire. What are you standing in the midst of? Replace those three things. A pandemic. He's still the same God. He's still as faithful as ever. Now here's something we don't get to see in Daniel, and I want to get you here because this is great. So in the Greek versions, and actually if you read, you'll understand that it's true, that there were two things happening when the three of them went into the fire. Now, this is exciting to me because this is where we see God move. The king never said, stop stoking the fire. He never said, don't keep it seven times hotter. In fact, he said, maintain it at that rate. And then when we look at the fact that in an appendage, and we understand this to be true, that Abednego was singing a song and saying a prayer. The three men were singing a song, and guess what that song said? And when you look at the way it's written, it actually says that as they stoked the fire, Jesus pushed the... As the enemy comes into your Jesus, are you with me here? And you know what he did? Every time that they cried out, bless the Lord, and then they'd have a statement after it. And that statement would be just praising God for creating them, praising God for, and the prayer was all about be with the remnant, Be with us. Let us be your glory. Let us be your light. So as the king, the earthly king, came in and dumped that fire on, Jesus, who was standing there with them, pushed that fire away, and they said, bless the Lord, because. And guess what? They weren't even saying bless the Lord about what was happening in that moment. Because they had already done what? They had already said in their mind, no matter what, it doesn't matter, because I am his, and he is mine. And so you know what? When I get in that fire, I'm going to say, bless the Lord, and the Lord's going to push it away, but I'm going to bless him for something else. Church, do you know that one day you're going to recognize that he was pushing away a lot of stuff that the enemy had prepared for you? You forget, as we sit here today in comfort, how much he doesn't like you and how much the Lord loves you. And so Abednego said, bless the Lord. The king said, put it on. Bless the Lord. The king said, put it on. They said, bless the Lord. And Jesus, and he's doing the same thing for you today. Church, he's doing the same thing for you today. And you know what we have to start doing? Stop praying in the midst of it and start praying those bigger prayers. Start saying those bigger prayers. The prayer, and you can read this when you get home, but man, there was Jesus. And as you think back, you need to say to yourself, you know what? There was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. And there, Jesus is going to be. He is for you. Even when the fire is 7 times hotter. And guess what he says? He says, here we go again. Let's get up against the enemy. Because he's already under my feet. And because you have swag and you know who you are in me, let me push the... I hope that the next time you read this, you won't just read it with your Sunday school knowledge, but that it'll remind you that there was a God that sent his son even in the fire to push away what was coming on top. The test. Where Jesus is, there is no room for the enemy. If he's in your heart, then there's no room for the enemy. And if the enemy's creeping in, then you better look at yourself like King Nebuchadnezzar. Because we are either with Jesus or we are not. And church, if there's areas in our life that are not, we've got to get rid of them or we can't stand like Abednego. See, now we can say, before you could say, well, we're not really Daniel. Well, guess what? Even Abednego, the person that was under Daniel, he stood with Jesus. He knew that Jesus was with him. And the test also did what? It caused amazement to come over the king. He got up and realized that his men were dead. Get this. His men were dead, but the 3 men representing Jesus were what? They were alive. And then you look at the translation. He actually said, and here's what's great about the enemy. You know what the enemy does? He knows Jesus, which means he knows you. And so when you're living out Jesus, he is going to know you. And when you come to the pastor and say, well, I can't believe this happened, you better believe it. Because if you're standing with him, he knows who Jesus is and he knows how Jesus works. So, yeah, he did get to your physical because it's the only way he can get you. Yeah, he did go to your, the only way he can get you. Why? Because your heart isn't gettable. Because he knows what Jesus is Jesus is. And guess who rose? That king who was sitting on his throne, and what's understood to be his whole royal court would have been before this fire. So everybody would have sat in their seats, all puffed up about the death of good men. 3 men. 3 times they were mentioned that they were bound. 3 names were recounted. 3 days Jesus spent in the grave. The 3rd day represented life. Jesus was there. He was there. He's here and he's going to be. Think about it. You need to be thinking about it this way. And some of you say, well, I'm a good, godly person. get to the depth of who you really are. Get to the self. Get to the ideas you have. Get to the thoughts. Line them up with who Jesus is. Church, I'm not bragging, but that's what Ashley and I do. I sat last night to receive from her. And she said, so you're ready to hear? And I said, yes. And she gave me some thoughts that God had given her that I wasn't ready for until that moment. Church, let's get ready to receive. Let's be okay when our spouse says, hey, are you ready to receive some words? Because God just, I can't, I gotta. See, they were bound. My prayer today is that you were bound, but that you're no longer bound. Because everything they wrapped around those men became loosed. And everything that you let God work on in you will become loosed. And when you get with Jesus, it won't be present. They were going to be harmed, but they were unharmed. Church, he can do whatever he wants to do with your physical today. But I promise you, when you get to glory, it won't matter. They were three, but now they were four. You are one, but you're actually two. You may be two in your household, but you're actually three. We need to start thinking like that. You may have six in your household, but there's actually seven. You may have eight in your household, but there are actually nine. And here the king recognized that no matter what he could do, Jesus was there. There were three, but there were four. And then he said, wait a minute, it's the Son of a God. Church, talk about foreshadowing. He didn't even know he was doing it. He just said it in innocence. He just said, my goodness, there is the Son of God. Church, yes, there's the Son of God. And the Son of God is with us today. And the enemy knows what the Son of God looks like, how the Son of God feels, and who the Son of God is. So as we get to the closing here, what do we gain from having true swag? Meaning knowing who we serve and who we are in Christ. We gain Christ. And I don't know, but if those three men could stand here today and one day, my prayer is that you're going to get to interact with them. But if they could stand here today, they would say to you, all you need is Christ. And all you need to do is be saying, as God, bless the Lord. As the enemy, bless the Lord. As the enemy, bless the Lord. And fill it in. Church, you have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot of reasons to fill in the bless the Lord because, in fact, it's actually 22 lines long what he said. So he said 22 things about God as he stood in the fire. They were delivered in the midst. And here's the thing that we have to get away from. Oftentimes as Christians, we say, why isn't he pulling me out of the trial? Jesus did not open the front of the fire and say, let's come out. He said, you know what? I'm going to show who I am, and I'm going to stand here, and that king's going to rise up to me, and he's going to see who I am in the midst of this fire. Stop saying, get me out of the fire, and start saying, God, be with me in the fire. Be with me outside of the fire. Be with me whatever you decide to do. I want you to just be with me. They were delivered in the midst of. It took place in the trial. We gain deliverance in the midst of what we're going through because of that third, fourth, fifth, second. So church, we're preparing to push you and AFC to a new, and I don't know. I look here and my throat's sore, not because I have COVID, but because I'm yelling up in here. But anyway, I don't know about you, but we've got to change our mindset as Christians. We have got to start looking at the events of the Word because they set us up for the events of our life. We have to stop looking at it as stories and look at it as true events that actual females and males went through and say, if they can go through it, then we can go through it. If they can celebrate, then we can celebrate. If they can stand in a fire, then we can stand in a pandemic and say, bless the Lord, and give 22 different reasons why. And I bet you if they had more time, because they also said a prayer as well, and their prayers probably aren't like our prayers, so they didn't just spend a couple of minutes in the fire. Church, in fact, there was a whole audience ready to get themselves seated. They were dropped in, and we have to be like these people. And guess what? We get to be on the other side. See, here we see Jesus appear, and not often do we see that in the Old Testament. We see it all over the New Testament. But church, we are the New Testament. And so when I go home, it's not six of us, it's seven of us. When I stand alone and speak, I'm not standing alone. Stop thinking you're alone. Stop letting the enemy think that you're a lonely person. You're not. Because you go home with the same Jesus I go home with. So you're no longer lonely. It may feel like it because the enemy wants you in the midst to feel like you are. But we've got to start saying, well, wait a minute. God's with me in the midst. Church, this is the truth of the gospel. And you're the gospel carriers. And he goes out with you. And he is desiring more of us as Christians. Because let me tell you, those that are against us, they are, and I'm speaking crazy now, you all can shut down, but they are rising up, and people are believing them, and the truth they're preparing for people, they're taking on. They're not even fact-checking it. And they're saying, this is our new truth. My truth hasn't changed. The avenue in which it may be spoken is a little different, but the truth is the truth is the truth. And that is, those men said, if. They didn't say, God, you better. They said, if our God. And the way that you translate it, they actually were saying, you know what? We're going in the fire. Ain't nothing happening. They're walking up there. Men are dying. I mean, they're witnessing all this. They're stoking this fire to the point where the stokers are falling off the sides. So we're going in this. And whatever God's way is, it's going to be his way. But we believe no matter what. And we got to start going out of our churches and saying, no matter what, I'm with him. No matter what this trial looks like, I'm with him. And church, you say, well, Pastor, you've not been through anything. We've been through some things. I don't want to go through again. I did watch my kid in Nacogdoches. They understood it. I watched her die and then go and bring her back. And so I've seen some things. I have a dad who won't talk to me because I'm standing here today. I've seen some things, and each and every one of you have as well. But God's saying, stand up in the midst because I'm with you in the midst, and I'm with you when I deliver you, and I'm with you when you're out. I'm with you. Can you just get it, church? That's what he's saying. Go out with me because I'm with you in the midst of a pandemic. Stop being afraid. God, today, we have read about three men that just said, God, if it be your will, but if it's not, we're okay. Because we know who you are. We know how the end goes. Today, God, let us be a people that are just firm. That's just who we are. And so today, God, send us out, not as one, but as two, united with you. We love you and we trust you, and we go with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I'm so glad that you're here today. Take his words and hold on to them, and never read Daniel the same. Go and be with God.